Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to have returning guests to our studio. Benjamin Vickers is back. He is the music director of the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. Welcome back, Ben.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having us again.
Nice to have you back again. And you brought along a special guest, a founding member of the orchestra, and also French horn player and board member, Katie Tatro, is here. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And we're going to find out everything we want to know about the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra, or NABSCO, as it's pronounced, if you will. And you were here at the end of January, Ben, and we talked about some upcoming events. And now we're here to talk about a concert that's going to take place in a few weeks. And let's start with a little bit of information about the orchestra first, and tell us just a little bit. Maybe Katie, you want to take this and tell us about, you said you were a founding member of about 10 years ago?
Yes, I am a founding member of the orchestra. We started 10 years ago. At that time, we were under the name of the Rhode Island Philharmonic Community Orchestra. And in the last 2 years, we have been reconstituted, if you will, as the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. We still have great support from Rhode Island Philharmonic, but this change allowed us to be more independent and do some of our own marketing and advertising separately from the Philharmonic. And as I noted, the word community has stayed in our orchestra's name. That's very important to who we are and what we do. Our motto is of the community and for the community.
Of the community and for the community. All right. Protect and serve.
Yes.
Okay. Right. And Katie, a little bit of background about you, since you're a first-time guest on Conducting Conversations. Are you a Rhode Island person?
I consider myself one now. I've been here for, 25 plus years.
I don't know. All right, maybe.
Originally from upstate New York, but most of my family kind of migrated to the New England area.
In the Rochester area? Or what?
Near Syracuse.
Near Syracuse, okay. Yes. And not for the orange, are you? Right.
Yeah, I rooted for him a bit.
Okay, well, too bad. all right, and now living in what town?
We live in Narragansett, Rhode Island.
Okay. All right. And French horn player?
French horn player.
Long time?
Long time.
Most of your adult life?
Most of my adult life. I went to school for French horn, actually, my first set of degrees, the University of Massachusetts, and then I studied at Northwestern. And I came back to Rhode Island area and played with quite a few organizations, local symphonies, chamber groups, etc. And then I took a bit of a hiatus from playing with, I was working full-time, going to school at night, having kids, and it got a little tough. So I did take a hiatus, and then when I saw that this orchestra was forming 10 years ago, at the time I was just working part-time. I had finished my third or fourth degree, whatever that was, and I thought, I'm ready to come back and play, and it's been a wonderful experience.
Excellent. Well, you know, third or fourth degree, Ben, I feel a little intimidated.
So do I. Those are in different subjects.
It's like people that speak many languages always intimidate me, you know, like, I know seven languages. Well, really? I speak Providence. How, you know what I mean? Anyway, Ben, the orchestra itself has an interesting program coming up.
Yes, we do. We have a concert coming up. We'll be returning to Providence College, to the Smith Center for the Performing Arts, where we played before. We're coming back, as I said. This concert will be June 5th, Sunday, June 5th, 2016, obviously. The concert will be at 3 p.m., and it's going to feature Mozart's Overture to the Impresario, and Mahler's Fourth Symphony with Ilana Goldstein as the soloist in the fourth movement. And we'll talk more about who Ilana is and what the meaning of what the pieces are.
That name rings a bell to me. I think that she had a relative here on the last show.
She did. Her mother, Amy, is also a flutist in the orchestra and a board member, and she was with us in January when we were last year.
I think we talked about this in January, but I always wonder, you say flutist, and I say flautist, and you say tomato.
I guess I've just known enough flute players, you can also say that, who fall on the side of flutist rather than flautist.
There
so
you go.
That's what I go around saying.
I like to get that straightened out right up front, yeah. You know, which one is which. And it makes it simple when, Katie, you play the French horn.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go. So we can do it that way. Yeah. All right. A little bit more specifics about the program and the musical selection, and we talked a little bit about the mission of the orchestra, and let's talk about some of the background of some of the musicians that might be involved. Katie, you want to talk about that?
Yes. So, of course, we have our wonderful orchestra. We're about a membership of about 60 in the orchestra. And as I said before, since we are of the community, for the community, the players in the orchestra come from all different kinds of backgrounds and professions, which makes for a very interesting mix. And it also adds quite a bit of depth to the experience on our board, which is a wonderful thing. We have doctors, lawyers, a lot of teachers, professors, researchers, graphic artists, bankers, mm-hmm. quite an array of folks in the orchestra.
No radio talk show hosts, though, right? No.
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. Well, I'll work on something. Maybe I can get in there.
Bassoon. No, yeah, I'm
kidding. Work on something coming up, all right? And the different venues that you perform at, do you get around the state, or do you stay pretty much in one place?
We do. We try to expand our venues really every year since I've been here, especially since becoming NABSCO. Our most recent venues have primarily been at Providence College at the Smith Center for the Arts. We've also played at Rhode Island College. We every year do a concert at the St. Peter's by the Sea Church in Narragansett, mm-hmm. which is nice, and that's always a free concert as well. It's a beautiful place to play. We have chamber concerts, smaller chamber venues. We play at the music school in East Providence. The Rhode Island Philharmonic offices are there. And then in the past we've played at various places in North Providence. And next year we're looking at expanding some additional venues in different places in the state. We do want to bring ourselves to audiences more geographically diverse.
And if people are trying to find you, is there a website that they can go to?
We have a website.
That's a good thing.
NABSCO.org. That's NABSCO.org.
Great. All right, Ben, let's get to the music portion of our program and tell us what's coming up.
Sure. Well, I thought we could start with the Mozart Overture, since that's also how the concert's going to begin. You know, we have plenty of Mahler to talk about later on, but Mozart and Mahler, in this case, kind of go together anyway, because this is Mahler's kind of most concise classical symphony. It's the one that sprawls the least and, you know, doesn't last more than an hour. So it's kind of his most Mozart-like symphony. This overture is also just kind of a first of all, the Impresario is a kind of farce that Mozart wrote. It's a comic opera, and what it is about is just a kind of trivial scenario about singers putting on a play, putting on an opera themselves, and just being divas and trying to outdo each other and complaining about who's getting paid more, and really kind of things like that, which, you know, they say every note of Mozart is opera, but particularly when he's writing an opera, and particularly when he's writing an opera within an opera, I guess, if you want to get all meta about it. But this overture is just very lively and funny, and it suggests exactly the kind of diva-like flourishes that would be going on in this kind of setting.
Okay, all right. We'll listen to that. Then we'll take a short break and be back with more of Katie and Ben.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra, or NABSCO, as the abbreviation says. And Katie Tatro is here. She is a French horn player, founding member of the orchestra, and a board member. And music director Benjamin Vickers is here. And Ben is now seasoned. This is his second time on Conducting Conversations. So you're an old pro, Ben.
Well, it feels that way. Not really. But
well, it's great to have you back again. We're talking about the concert that is coming up in just a couple weeks. And let's take it from there, and I'll turn it to you.
Well, we just heard before the break the overture, the Mozart's overture to the Impresario. The other work on the program is a quite substantial other work. It's the Fourth Symphony of Gustav Mahler. Mahler, of course, was the great Austrian composer of 9 complete symphonies. There's kind of a story about that. He was a man who was very obsessed with death because he had a very difficult childhood. His brothers, sisters, many members of his family died. This is important later in his music because even if he's very thrilled to be alive, he's always got death there as the kind of definition of life by its existence, and, uh-huh. and it figures into all of his music. He wrote 9 symphonies, as I say. He knew that Beethoven died after 9. He knew that basically no composer of significance, let's say, as he viewed it, had written more than 9 symphonies. They all were cut off. Schubert, so even in their youth. So he was very superstitious about that. He wrote his great song cycle, Das Lied von der Erde, but was careful not to number it as a symphony and to kind of structure it differently. And so he got away with it, and then he died. He started his 10th symphony, finished the first movement, and had the rest of it sketched out, but then he also died. So it was proven correct. But at any rate, that's the story of the Mahler symphonies, part of it at least. But in his day, he was known as the best conductor in the world. He was the conductor at the Vienna State Opera, that's another connection. He loved Mozart's operas and played them very often. And he also, many people know, but he was a music director of the New York Philharmonic and also conducted at the Metropolitan Opera in the first decade of the 20th century, right before he died in 1911. So he has an important connection to the United States as well. But at any rate, he had a sad, difficult life. He used a lot of death imagery in his music, and we can talk about that. It's not always scary, but sometimes it's funny, and there's a frequent juxtaposition, just like in his childhood, of...
So wait. You said death imagery, and sometimes it's funny.
Sometimes it's funny.
Okay.
Well, because
I just want you to know I'm paying attention.
Well, thank you. Okay. I'm glad. Sometimes these things just come out of my mouth. No, but what it really is the juxtaposition of moods, something terrible like death with like a military band, seconds later just put there for no reason, and then this bohemian kind of maybe a Jewish street music band right after with no explanation, as if he were in either a dream state or as though he were kind of doing a stream of consciousness music composition about what his life as a child or an adult was like, someone dying, and then there's this fanfare off in the hills, and there are cowbells that he hears in the fields, and it's all in there. He said the symphony must embrace everything in the world, and it really does, even if it doesn't at first make sense. It's all in there. Okay. I don't know if it's hard to explain Mahler's music and Mahler as a person. He's a very complex figure.
But well, I think you've done a pretty good job.
I did my best.
There you go. Katie, there's going to be a special guest we mentioned at the top of the show that's coming to be part of this concert. Why don't you tell us about her?
That's right. In the fourth movement of this symphony, there's a lovely soprano addition to the orchestra. And our soloist for this concert is a Rhode Island native. It is Alana Goldstein. She is the daughter of 2 of the musicians with our orchestra and board members as well. Alana will be coming home to sing this concert with us. She's currently studying at Northwestern University. She's very active in Chicago in both operatic as well as musical theater productions. But prior to heading out to the Midwest, again, she's a Rhode Island native. She started her musical career here in Rhode Island. She played violin with the youth orchestras, the Rhode Island Philharmonic Youth Orchestras. And she played violin with them for quite a bit, and she does continue to play violin as well. But as I noted, she's at Northwestern University. She's currently pursuing her master's degree there in voice and opera. And she went there as undergrad as well, another overachiever, I guess, where she completed the dual bachelor's degrees in voice, performance, and cognitive neuroscience. So Alana's a very interesting character, and we're thrilled to have her come performing with us. She's been able to come to a couple rehearsals with us already, and it's been a wonderful experience to have her with us.
Excellent. We actually have a word from her, although she's not in the studio with us today. She sent this message along, right?
She did. It was I thought it was very important to include her voice, as it were, in our conversation as well. So there are a couple of thoughts that she has which are very important about Mahler and his songs as they evolved, how they're based in actually folk poetry. She says it so much better than I could say it, and it really is an object of her intense study, and she's brilliant. She studied in Vienna with a prominent scholar who deals with Mahler, his music, and his life. So she knows, I mentioned before, all singers are divas. She is not a diva. She is very brilliant at explaining what she brings to this as the singer.
Mahler's first four symphonies are often referred to as his Wunderhorn symphonies. And this is because they're based on songs that he wrote, which are set to texts from the poetry collection Des Knaben Wunderhorn, or translated, The Boy's Magic Horn. This collection of poetry was collected by Achim von Arnim and Clemens Brentano and first published in 1805. And what's interesting about it is that there's no author. Instead, these two poets went around Germany and collected folk poems and edited and wrote them down. This project was part of a larger movement in the early 19th century, which was basically an obsession with folk tales and folk songs and folk poetry, because the Romantics felt folk arts had a simplicity and a purity, and that the common people and peasants were more grounded in nature than the intellectual elite, and they valued that quality, that simple quality. Other examples of this sort of thing are the Grimm brothers, who collected fairy tales, and poets like Goethe writing their own poems in the style of folk poetry, such as Erlkönig, which is in the style of a ballad, which is an oral poetry tradition. But anyway, back to Mahler. Mahler really bought into this idea of purity and truth in these folk texts, and felt that they tapped into this essence of life and existence. And he felt so strongly about these songs that he based four entire symphonies around them. This importance that Mahler gives to his lieder is really something that developed over the course of the 19th century. Lieder started off as unimportant music, in a way. Mozart would write songs when he was bored or when he didn't have some larger project to work on. The songs didn't really define you as a great composer the way that a symphony or a string quartet or an opera would. Instead, it was this genre of chamber music that was meant to be played in the home. It was meant for an intimate setting, and it was meant for amateurs to buy books and play at salons and at personal gatherings, and they were small works, and they were just meant for the voice and the piano. However, by the time we get to Mahler and Strauss and Berg and, you know, the late Romantics, the lied had been elevated to this high art and expanded, and it was now being performed in concert halls. And instead of just being voice and piano, it's now orchestrated with these enormous orchestras. And in Mahler's case, they even made their way into his symphonies.
So as Ilana said, the imagery of folk poetry and folk music figured very much into Mahler's music, and it had become quite evolved. And also the notion that, I mean, the Grimm's fairy tales are kind of the same vein. And he uses a very striking image in this symphony, in the scherzo, the second movement. This is where it's basically a dance. It's traditionally a dance. That's the role of the scherzo in the symphony. But here he makes it a dance of death, or a danse macabre, if you will, with the image of death taking the fiddle, which is a common image like this. There's a lot of even down, you know, the devil went down to Georgia. What's that song by
Charlie Daniels?
Charlie Daniels. Thank you. I couldn't think fast enough. All the way from that back through, you know, Paganini. There was all the rumors about Paganini being possessed by the devil in order to be able to play the way he did. And there's a Soldier's Tale. There's the Danse Macabre of Saint-Saëns that many people know. So there's this is yet another of those. And the violinist, the solo violinist, will be Emily Chen in this case, is directed by Mahler to have a second violin. In other words, two violins, one tuned normally and one with every string tuned up a whole step, so that it sounds very tense, very eerie, very otherworldly and sinister, and frankly, he says, like a cheap fiddle. Like, it directs the soloist to play it like a cheap fiddle, without sophistication and with a little bit menacing, kind of almost evil to it. So that's what we're going to hear now. This is the second movement from Mahler's Fourth Symphony, and this is Christopher Warren Green is the violinist in this recording with the Philharmonia Orchestra and Benjamin Zander, and it's a very, very captivatingly weird and menacing performance of the piece.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Thank you. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Katie Tatro from the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra, and the music director, Benjamin Vickers, is here. And between Katie and Ben, we've been finding out a lot of great information. And Katie, we've got some more information we need. We just want to, one more time, get the date and place for the concert coming up on June 5th.
So our concert that we've been speaking about with Mozart and Mahler's Fourth is on June 5th. It is being held at the Smith Center for the Arts at Providence College. It's a Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. The ticket prices are very affordable. As part of our community orchestra, that is one of our mission, to keep them affordable, and it's also accessible. The concert tickets are $15 for general admission and $5 for students and for seniors. You can purchase tickets on the day of the concert at the venue. And if you need any more information, please, again, go to our website at napsco.org. A few other things about the orchestra. You'll see this on our website as well. We are frequently looking for additional musicians to play with our orchestra. On a regular basis, and we also are frequently in need of subs. So again, go to our website and you can find information there. Also on our website, you'll see that we have a large list of very wonderful sponsors that I do want to mention for us. The Rhode Island Philharmonic Orchestra Music School have been a wonderful partner for us over our entire 10 years. The Rhode Island State Council for the Arts has been very supportive with grants and such support, as well as the Carter Family Charitable Trust has helped us very much over the years. Additional sponsors include Roberts Musical Instruments, Aurea Ensemble, Musica Dolce, the law firm of D'Amico and Birchfield, Convergence Wealth Advisors, the Rhode Island Chamber Music Concerts, the Flute Center of Rhode Island, Bruce Goldstein Allergy Associates, Rumford Dental, the Rhode Island Clarinet School, and Therapeutic Massage. And we thank very much all our sponsors. And we also thank the folks that have been attending our concerts regularly. Please bring your friends. We love your participation in our audience. Finally, just quickly, we do have our dates set for next year's concerts for our 2016-17 season. That will be our first concert is on October 30th. We have another on December 11th, March 5th, and again June 4th for our final concert of next year's season. And once more, information on those concerts will be posted on our website.
Excellent. Well, thank you for all that information, Katie, and thank you for being here. Appreciate you coming in, taking the time to share all that with our listeners. And on behalf of WCRI, we wish you all the best in the concert. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ben, we're going to close out with you telling us about this last piece of music that we're going to listen to today. And I'm not sure we'll be able to get the whole thing in because it's a little bit lengthy, but we'll see what we can do.
Sure.
And tell us about it.
Well, to be honest, I can do no better than to let Ilana speak about the song and that she's going to be singing, of course, and then we can hear what we have time for of the recording of Camilla Tilling singing it with Benjamin Zander and the Philharmonia Orchestra.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate it. Nice seeing you. Take care.
Take care. Thank you for having us once again.
The song that I will be singing occurs in the fourth and final movement of Mahler's Fourth Symphony, and It's called Das himmlische Leben, or The Heavenly Life. It is a song that is told from the perspective of a child angel, so we can assume that this child has died, and it describes what heaven is like for the child. And the majority of the song is one of two things. So the first thing is describing the duties of various saints. So Saint Peter watches over everyone and he goes fishing, and Saint Martha is the cook, and Saint Cecilia is the she's a court musician, and all of her family play music for the rest of the angels. And the other thing that takes up a large portion of the song is just lists of foods that the angels have to eat in heaven, like wine and bread and apples and pears and beans and all these sorts of meats like reindeer and hare. And it's probably the only song in the lead repertoire to include the German word for asparagus, which is Spargel. So, but what's really interesting is that there is still quite a bit of violence and brutality present in heaven, just as it is on earth. Like, it's not this beautiful angelic place that we'd like to think heaven is. The angels still have to kill all the animals that they eat, and they feel bad about it. Or at least, you know, the angel who's talking about it feels bad about it. And so this concept of an imperfect heaven may be distressing to some people, but also I think the point that, you know, Mahler's putting forth is that by way of heaven being more like earth, it's also showing that earth is more like heaven. Even though we have this violence and brutality, it's not necessarily going to go away. It's just it's a natural part of existence. And even if you have all the meat and all of the everything you could ever want, you're still going to have to sacrifice something, and you're still going to have to cause pain to have happiness.
Schönes, geduldes, ein liebliches Leben. mit Freuden angeschwommen, dort läuft schon so Peter mit Blitz und mit Töne zum himmlischen Feuer hin.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.